Yippee! Yippee! Yippee!
Listen, let the
title
of this thing. Don't title again.
And I did only be a little man.
Is it rolling, Bob?
Okay, we're going to fade that one out. Of course, that's Living Rockets. God damn, this is in the car CD from the 5-disc box set I bought. Jesus Christ. Sorry. I love this music. But as I promised last time, I'm going to be playing different stuff. This is just background, okay, while we get started here on Diggs and Jane's podcast. Holy fuck, 799. Yes, indeed. Will I make 1,000? I don't know if my brain will be working that much longer, so I wouldn't bet on it, but what the hell. We'll just keep going as long as we're having fun, or I'm having fun, and I still get some respect, which is very important for self-esteem. And yes, that's the chapter I'm on in the book I bought, Transcendence, you know, the psychology book I was raving about last time. By God, it's good. I've read, this is the third section in the book. And I am learning a lot. I really am. And it's having an impact. And I want to talk about that later, maybe. I don't have notes. This is a good thing. I'm at Bluffers Park in the boat launch side, which is nice. There's a bit of a breeze coming in. I got all four windows open. And I'm just on my way home from Great Escape Books. I'm saddened by that visit. Katya is the owner. She's a wonderful woman. And honestly, the Great Escape, I think it's 979. I couldn't be sure, but it's on Kingston Road, just outside of Scarborough, on the Toronto side, past Victoria Park, heading west from where I'm at. It is a great, great, great used bookshop. You walk in and there's just a feeling, for me, of comfort. Wow. All these great books. And there's a big old dog lying there, not moving much. I've never seen it move, I think, the entire time I've been there. Poor old fellow, on his last legs, maybe. And Katya, wearing a mask, and for the first time since I've been in there, looking sad. Business is down. She's just been hard hit. And as we explored the topic, we've got new and used. I go for the used books. And I ordered our church books through her. And I'm just so saddened, as was she, by the fact that people aren't reading now. Young people aren't reading. People aren't buying books, or people are just going online. As I've started doing, going to Amazon, bam, free shipping. Here it is at your door, discounted. God damn. So for new books, you know, that's where I go. Used books, please patronize. Is that, yeah. If you know of any good used bookstores, privately owned, in your neighborhood, and if not, pay a visit to Kingston Road. There's lots to explore there. It's right near the Feathers, or the Feathers pub, which is a great place to have a drink. But I think one of the things we commented on, there's just not that much walk-by traffic anymore because of COVID-19. People aren't out strolling and popping in here and there. And it's just so terribly sad. And I would hate to see her go out of business. But today, honestly, it was, I was saddened for her personally, but I was saddened for the youth of today who just, you know, browsing a used bookshop, I guess, has absolutely no appeal. You got a fucking phone in front of your face. That's what you're browsing. But the world, the history of people who have written, spent their lives writing, devoted everything they've got to putting out good books in all these sections, poetry, art, literature, History, geography, politics, science fiction. That's why I went in, because she had two of the books I wanted. Now, what's funny is, here we are. I you know, Prelude to Foundation, $5.95 Canada. Isaac Asimov, Forward the Foundation, a newer version, $8.99 Canada. And I mentioned that because the copies I had when I was starting were like 95 cents, 65 cents. The cost of paperbacks going up. But here you were. I got both these books for $9. Nice, clean, newer editions. And so now I have, of the entire series, I am only missing one here. Hang on while I find it. Oh, Jesus. Come on. Just, you know, I've got these things. Where is it? What would it be under? Would it be under Dixon Jane's? No. Would it be under Miscellaneous? Yeah. Foundation series. Here we are. I'm only missing the fifth one, Foundation and Earth. I get to check off Preludes to Foundation, Forward the Foundation. Thank you very much. If you have a copy of Foundation and Earth by Isaac Asimov, let the Scarborough dude know. I'll buy it from you if it's used and at a reasonable price. Shipping won't be much, or whatever. You could gift me, too. That's fine. But anyway, it's just sad. It's sad because it's part of a changing world. And what you see on social media is more and more of an indication. God damn it, more people need to be reading, thinking, exercising that brain. And it's not happening because there's easier ways, faster ways. Just check this, you know. Too long, didn't read. Okay, I don't want to end on that note. I mean, I'm happy in my own way. I've got two books I really wanted in that series, and we'll have the whole set used. That is my promise. No, it's like Barnacle Bill built a deck of cards by finding discarded cards on the street, in the mud, on the sidewalk, anywhere, and just kept picking them up until he had 52 cards that didn't match. Maybe sometimes he'd get lucky and find three or four from the same deck. Of course, nobody would ever play with him. But now that I think about it, yeah, let's play 99 on that used deck of yours that don't match. You're not going to get in the high stakes poker with that deck, I'll tell you. But for me, yeah, it's got to be used, and it's just, I don't know, the fun of the hunt. I was telling her, like, when I lived in Toronto 50 years ago, or whatever, I would do that. I would just browse the used bookshops. But you've heard that before. I got to change topic here. This chapter on self-esteem, it is wonderful. I'll have quotes for you, but I'll get to that later. I just want to get started on this podcast while it's Friday, July the 10th. On the 15th, I see my doctor. I'm actually wearing my brace, using my cane to get out. Of course, wore a mask. And I noticed as I thumped along the pavement, oh my God, my right foot is making noise now. It appears my drop foot may be... I've hinted this for a while or thought about this for a while. I may be getting drop foot on the second foot. Oh my God, would I have to wear two leg braces? I'm falling apart, folks. Last night, I was going to get online with a friend. I want to use my upstairs computer, my iMac. And so I had my cell phone and a book in my right hand, and I was trying to carry up a bottle of wine and a glass, you know, sitting on top of it in my left hand, and I couldn't get up the stairs. My wife had to come. She heard me thumping, you know, trying to brace my shoulder against the wall because I couldn't use the hand railing, and she came running. No, I'll take the wine, and I'm apologizing and feeling stupid. I couldn't do it. I can't get upstairs without, you know, on the hand railing, and usually it's with two hands sort of pulling myself up. So, holy fuck, eh? But, hey, I'm still, I still got my brain. It's still working. I'm still happy. I got these books. And there's good things going on. I still enjoy music. That out again. I got one more errand to run, and that is the LCBO on Kingston Road and McCowan. They have great, it's a great little store, probably a lineup today, but I got to get some beer. I have no beer in the house, and I think given the hot weather and being the weekend, I need to get a couple of cans of beer. I won't allow myself to get more than six, but yeah, so that's our next errand. So that's it. Yeah, I guess there was more to say. Oh, I know, the final thought, if I won a huge lottery, a large sum of money, I would drop by the used bookshop and either just say, here, let me pay your rent, or just, you know, more easily, just hand her $1,000. Like, here you go, just carry on. I'm sorry it's not much, and I know I could do better, you know, but I'm just saying there'd be many other people. There'd be her, and there'd be Susie, who runs the Golden Hair Salon, who used to cut my hair when I had an office on Kingston Road. Here's $1,000, you know, hope you're doing okay. Just, you know, there's so many people and little causes that I'd want to contribute to. But people who, especially people who are working and just struggling right now, just trying to keep their business going, you know, man, that's tough. All right, yours truly, Scarborough Dude, signing off. Here is a tune from the Maud collection. Bye for now. I'll blend it in with this. And we're back. Yeah, to you, of course, it's all one stretch, more or less. But to me, it's Saturday afternoon, or just past 12:30. It rained this morning, which we really needed, and I thought, oh, it's going to be so nice to sit in the road trek in the rain and talk to you. But it's sunny again. A little bit of a breeze with the windows open, and it's always so lovely. It's always so lovely sitting here. I don't know what it's going to be like when I go camping. I hope like hell my knee has, I don't know, been mended before the 30th of July when I leave. It's only two nights, but I can hardly walk today. I mean, it's really, something is dreadfully wrong, for I fear a deep burning pain in my knee. Yeah, anybody who listened to the Scarborough Dudes or Cowboy Ken's tunes will know where that came from. All right, so I'm happy. Jesus, leave me alone. I'm gonna read something from the book I've got in my hand now, White Fragility, Why It's So Hard for White People to Talk About Racism. Now, I gotta say, it was important for me to get this book. It's important for me to read this book. And I'm not reversing my position. I still, you know, take umbrage at the use of the word fragility and so on. But I've only read just the beginning, I guess the prelude probably, and an introduction, and chapter one. And she's won me over completely. Like, wow, okay, I get it. I get it. The things I couldn't see before reading these few pages in this book, you know, and it's so funny because I was a classic example of pushing back against all the buttons that she pushed with statements, you know. I'm going to read just something from the back of the book, you know, one of the plugs. What is White Fragility? In this groundbreaking and timely book, anti-racist educator Robin D'Angelo, deftly illuminates the phenomenon of white fragility. And that's the term. I just got stuck at that term, and I'm no longer stuck on it. Referring to the defensive moves that white people make when challenged racially, white fragility is characterized by emotions such as anger, fear, and guilt. I didn't have fear. I didn't have guilt, but I had resistance. And by behaviors including argumentation, I guess that's it, and silence, and maybe that too. These behaviors in turn function to reinstate white racial equilibrium and prevent any meaningful cross-racial dialogue. In this in-depth examination, D'Angelo explores how white fragility develops, how it protects racial inequality, and what we can do to engage more constructively. Now, that's really a fair assessment. And again, I'm only at the start of the book. You know, I haven't quite got to the, here it is, the white supremacy chapter. I look forward to that. And it seems fitting, actually, in a time when fucking President Trump pardoned Stone. He was due to go to jail today, and overnight Trump pardoned him. And it's just disgusting. It's disgusting. Roger Stone. For crimes that should have had him in jail. But presidential pardons being what they are, and Stone being a supporter of Trump. The thing, what I saw, there were posts with him making the white supremacist sign. That's sort of what looks like an okay sign, except it's not. With a group of other white people sitting at tables. A few pictures of him with these groups showing, hey, this is white supremacy, folks. And on that alone, what the fuck, America? What have you done? But again, apologies to my friends and listeners who are American who do not support Trump in any possible way, and are ashamed and embarrassed and maybe even frightened and concerned. And I'm with you. It's too bad. Oh dear, I see I've got all kinds of comments here from Facebook. I've been engaging with people. What's her name? Ugh. I don't go out of my way to provoke fights, but I do express an opinion when I want to. And I guess if you follow me on Facebook, on Twitter, you'll see what I've done. I don't know if I really want to take up too much time from this precious podcast to talk about, you know, defending Rosie DiMaggio, former columnist for the Globe and Mail newspaper, who was shouted down and kicked out of a society she was invited to join at University of Toronto. And it was a very interesting article. And I put a couple of quotes up there. And of course, you know, I mean, she's like J.K. Rowling. These are people you're not allowed to like anymore because of something they've posted. And that was what her article was about. And it was a very interesting read. And I'm glad I read it. And I've posted links. And maybe I should put a whole bunch of links here and have more people angry at me. More of a certain group of people who toe the party line and don't want any deviance from it, perhaps. But anyway, it isn't necessarily where I'm coming from. It's just this idea of canceling certain people. And just me even saying that phrase could have people pointing fingers saying, you know, what are you talking about? They deserve to be canceled. And I've been arguing that back at that for a very long time on this podcast. And it doesn't mean that I'm championing white supremacy. I'm glad of this book that I'm holding in my hands that is going to change some of my thinking. I'll also jump back to the other book. And what's funny about it, this book sort of lumps white people together and questions the whole notion of individuality. I'm an individual, I think for myself, and I know I'm not a racist. And that's a line that I took. And she dismisses that very cleverly, very well done, that no, we belong to a group, whether we own up to it or not. And as part of this dominant culture of whiteness. And you can't escape that. And I agree with her. I mean, she phrased it better than that, and I'm not going to read out all the arguments, but I understand that. But the other book I'm reading and raving about, Transcend, The New Science of Self-Actualization, is exactly about individualism and how you as an individual can transcend, you know, maybe the level you're at now and try to be a better person. So it's quite funny that these are two brand new books. They're both new. And I'm being challenged by both of them. And while they seem on one level to maybe contradict each other, especially this, you know, all about, you know, you, your white, maybe it's aimed at you, your white self, being a better person, the Transcend book. The other book, White Fragility, makes me realize, well, I've got to face these other issues as well. Now, one thing that happened in the Transcend book, and I don't think I mentioned this from the Bluffer's Part clip, was that this weekend there was a spate of shootings all over Toronto. Now, one of them was in Hamilton, or it was in Toronto, but it was a Hamilton mafia figure who had been shot at last year. His brother was shot and killed. They were out to get this guy. I don't even remember the name, an Italian name, of course. But shot him dead. So that's sort of separate. The other ones were sort of gang shootings around. And one, it seemed, indiscriminate shooting of about five different people, with two guys shooting with guns from both sides of a car, just into the street, or so it appeared. Another one right outside the door of Scarborough Town Centre, where my wife was on her way yesterday until somebody at work told her, oh, there was a shooting there, maybe you better not go. So close to home, I'm telling you. But in the past, my thinking has always been, and I guess it still is to state, these fuckers, these stupid goddamn fuckers, they get a gun, they join a gang, they get a gun, they start shooting at each other, and innocent people get killed, or somebody's killed for some petty reason, and the ones who aren't killed but are maimed, are scarred for life, their children are scarred, from seeing their mother or father in this condition. The amount of hospital time taken up and treatment forevermore of somebody who's now, you know, shot in the spine and is going to need special care the rest of his life. All these things, all the other things besides just being shot dead, alarm me, bother me. This is a problem we have that's got to be stopped. But I would blame the individuals, those fuckers. And in my mind, I'm picturing certain people. I'll just say that up front. I'm picturing who these people are. And when I read this book, Transcend, and he talked about poverty and what it's like to grow up. It was on the section on your very basic needs, you know, the lowest level of the hierarchy of needs, on just safety. And he talked about the degree of poverty in America and the impact that has on a child. It really made me think, instead of just seeing these gangs as who they are now, who were they as children? What was it like when they went to school and didn't have lunch money or clean underwear to put on? All the things that go with being poor or having a dysfunctional family and those basic needs not being met, the crippling effect that has on an individual. And I actually, after reading that, felt a little, just a tinge of compassion. I'm not seeing these people just who they are, but who they were, what got them to this place. And surely that's a good thing. But, I mean, I could go on. I could spend this entire podcast and go on all week. And maybe that I should do a separate line now. I never do that. I'm not disciplined that way. But there is so much I would love to share and quote from both these books that I guess you'll be hearing some. I'm trying not to go through the White Fragility book with a highlighter because I think it's a book I'd want to share with somebody. I think I know some people who would benefit from reading it as well. This is the one that our church chose. By the way, there was an absolutely wonderful article. I guess I'll post a link. I already have on social media about our church having sold it to the Boys and Girls Club here in Scarborough so that they have a chance to do performances because we have a basement, a stage, a lot of space. The whole front area within the church is beautifully laid out and can be altered in lots of ways because we've taken out most of the pews and replaced them with chairs for kids and programs and arts and theater and music and all kinds of other events. So it's actually been sold. It's gone through. The deal has been publicized now. We still have access to the church for our services once we're allowed to reconvene and meet in person. And for things like our book club where we'll study white fragility and our men's group and so on. But that was done, and this is from a minister who led this charge by inviting in young black leaders who represented various elements that she had heard about. And we met them. They looked at the church, said, wow, this could be a great facility. And she built those bridges herself. This is the woman who came out as an atheist, and the United Church wanted to be rid of her and lost the battle at a ridiculous expense and the cost of time and lawyers and put the congregation and Greta in particular through an incredible amount of strain and stress. By trying to defrock her and in the end lost because she's serving as a very, very good minister and doing the things Christians should be doing, the good Christians anyway. So there's that too. So lots of pieces come together that I'm grateful for in at this stage of my life, having found that church, what, 5 years ago now? Being led up to the point where I've got these two books in my lap and they excite me because my brain is engaged and I'm learning and I'm being challenged and I have to think. So I probably should stop there. I don't know how this comes across. The one thing I realized from the Transcend book, there's an awful lot about myself I don't know or understand. And also the whole question about how we see ourselves and how others see us and the gap there. Now I'm on the section of self-esteem and healthy pride. Well, in fact, I've just finished that and I'm going to he's got these, sailboat in two sections, safety connection, that's to others, and self-esteem. basically forming the base of the boat, and the sail is taken up with exploration, love, and purpose. And that all comes under growth. So that's about where I'm heading to. Maybe I'll just read a quote here that I've got highlighted. And I guess this is what... Yeah, I'll read it and you can make of it what you will. It seems to me that the fully functioning individual moves toward being knowingly and acceptingly the process which he inwardly and actually is. He is not trying to be more than he is with the attendant feelings of insecurity or bombastic defensiveness. He is not trying to be less than he is with the attendant feelings of guilt or self-deprecation. He is increasingly listening to the deepest recesses of his physiological and emotional being and finds himself increasingly willing to be with greater accuracy and depth that self which he most truly is. Now, a lot of you will just find that, you know, flibbertigibbet, gibberish. That was by Carl Rogers on Becoming a Person, a book I've mentioned many, many times on this podcast, A Therapist's View of Psychotherapy, 1954. But it was sectioned under Healthy Pride. And this was, following these are sections on the various kinds of narcissism. And the whole thing was, you know, how do you deal with self-esteem? Adler noted that we are social animals with a basic striving for connection and community and interest in making a positive impact in the world. That's who we are. I don't want to pick and choose too many more of these. I don't want to come across as preaching, but I do, you know, this is who I am. I'm a person who likes the concept of trying to understand who you are, what makes you tick, what motivates you, where do your insecurities come from, where does my lack of confidence come from, how can I build my self-esteem without being so dependent on other likes or people seeing something positive to me, you know, why am I even on this podcast? Why am I out so often begging for feedback and kind things for you to say to me to make me feel better? A lot of that, where does that insecurity come from? All right, on a note that has no connection to any of this except it probably does, while eating breakfast this morning, or a couple of sausages my wife cooked with nice chutney, I just recalled my mother making it clear that we don't give rewards for good report cards. Some families did that. If you got a certain number of A's or a high mark or, you know, above 80% or something, you got paid money. And it was very clear in my family that was plain wrong. At the same time, we were not punished for having lousy reports, and I had a number of those. And basically, I got nothing from my father. There was nothing said. It was, I mean, he signed it if it had to be signed. But there was almost no feedback. It was just, hey, do what you're supposed to do. And I guess to some extent, I brought up my own children that way. I don't know if it's good, but I do agree with that formula. No, you don't pay for doing well, and I'm... You know, maybe you could treat, oh, let's have ice cream tonight. That's wonderful. but not money for getting that. And then, of course, you know, well, you don't get money because you didn't. You got 79 on that test. It's not an 80. Sorry. You're not getting anything. I guess I am still scarred from being branded with that G in elementary school, grade 5. G, good. Good was just, it wasn't good. Excellent. That was great. VG, very good. Well, that was great. But good was just, holy fuck, man. That's nothing. You know, the next to good was F. And F didn't mean fail. It meant fair. Very close, but fair. And holy Christ, that's a slap in the face, that is. Fair. Jesus Christ, man, you were right on the borderline. You probably got 51%. And boy, anything below 50% was you unsatisfactory. You, if you got you on anything, oh my God, you were a dummy. You were in, oh my God, and you know, you hit the high year reports. You didn't, boy, I never got a U, you know. In fact, I don't, in elementary school, I don't think I ever got any Fs. But grade 1, 2, and 3 were all E's because I lived in a little schoolhouse in Valleyfield, and everything was fine. And boy, we were at the peak of white supremacy in Valleyfield in those days. Because it wasn't black people we were up against, it was the French. And I say that, I could go on to a long explanation of what that means without people, you know, jumping, tying their shorts in a knot over. What do you mean by that? Let's talk about that over a beer. Just what it was like to grow up in Quebec. There was a division between the French and the English. Okay, finished. Jesus Christ. All right, let's be done. Let's give you some music. I don't know what that was. That was a jumble. But, hey, that's what you get on the Dixon James podcast when the Scarborough dude just needs to get in his road wreck and talk. Bye for now.
I dig this crazy scene like 40 buglers blasting 10 tons of multicolored grapes. Champagne flowing from a golden fountain. Filet mignon on swords. Flaming shish kebabs. And beautiful dancing girls with their veils swinging. Holy mackerel, Caesar!
Monday, July 13th, 2020. I had to point that out because we had a whole lot of pork chops in the fridge. And the expiry date was today. And I told my wife and she went and checked. She says, no, it expires on the 20th. But really, I went back and checked again. She said, you don't believe me? And I It was harder to see the 13. She just saw the 20, and that's... anyway. Yeah, what's that got to do with anything? Other than that, she just phoned me. And I'm sitting in the road trek, and it's pretty funny to get a phone call from your house when you're sitting in the driveway to tell me that she had just made yakisoba for her and Daniel, formerly known as Chuck, and that I should come in and get some if I want to eat it while it's hot. And I decided, no, I'm going to stay out here a little longer. I've still got a big mug of tea to go through, and I'll just heat it up if need be. But that's just kind of funny. I don't think that involved the pork. I think the pork is maybe either going into the freezer or who knows what. All I know is that I'm not going out for to pick up sushi. Okay, so, gosh, that's Monday, and that's a confusing start, and I want to keep this short. I come out here to read because with both windows open, there is always a nice breeze. I've told you the view is nice. It's just trees. And it's such a comfortable position, and the light is so good. Like, you're outside of the house. You're in the driveway, you know, and you got windows everywhere here, including, you know, from the ceiling in the road track, you know, those three little windows up on the roof. So it's a great place for reading, and that's what I've done. I've got my two books with me, Transcend. Now, I got to say, The New Science of Self-Actualization, it's more of a psychology book, almost textbook. A lot of information. It's interesting to me. But I think when I bought it, I was thinking, ooh, this is going to help me transcend. This is going to get me to another level. And I don't think it's going to be that. And I don't think that was it. I think I was just sort of overly enthusiastic. You know, the way I'm that way. When I hear about something, I get excited and I just push that button. Yeah, I want it. And, you know, Amazon made it all that much easier when I didn't have to pay for shipping. So I don't regret it. I'm still going through the entire book with the highlighter. And I know actually it'll get more interesting as I get towards the chapter on Transcend. I'm just about to read the section on love, which I have a lot to learn about, as I've mentioned many times on this show. And then the other thing that is interesting about it is there's a lot of checklists. He'll talk about how they've devised a scale for creativity or whatever. And then there's checklists, and you can sort of feel or try and see where you stand with regards to whatever question or, you know, they put out there for you. And then there's a couple of appendixes in the back. 7 principles for becoming a whole person. Wholeness is an aspiration, not a destination. Yeah, so that's one appendix. That will be interesting. And then there are all kinds of things in another appendix, second appendix, called the Growth Challenges, with all kinds of scales and questions. So it will be. I think it will live up to my hopes, actually, now that I said it. Whether or not I'll be changed at the end of it, I don't know. But right now, there's a certain amount of slogging. But the thing that it just keeps going back to, Eric Fromm, Rollo May, Carl Rogers, name, and Maslow, of course, names that may mean nothing to you if you haven't studied psychology. But, again, my heroes. So, yeah, let's just put that aside. The book that is having an immediate impact on me is the White Fragility book. And I found out that we'll be doing this, as I mentioned, on our book study, and then I will go through it with my yellow highlighter. I'm not doing it now. I'm just doing an initial read, and it's a book that I like to go through and do a second read, this time with my ruler. And when I use a highlighter, boy, it's got to be just right. I've got a little small ruler, and just line it perfectly, have the nib turned the right way so you get a nice block, and that text just jumps out at you when you turn the page and you see what you've underlined or highlighted. So I now have a much better understanding of white supremacy, and believe me, I did not before. I think a number of people tried to point it out to me, maybe, or things like that. And I just, all the resistance was up there. And I don't know if I mentioned, but I actually wrote a letter to my men's group. Maybe I did mention it. Sorry if I'm repeating. Saying you should read this book. I didn't put it that way because I didn't want to come across as, a newly converted person, you know, reasons why you should quit smoking or join the church, whatever. But I did put it in a nice way. I just used myself as a reference, saying these are things that I was stubborn about and now have a much better understanding thanks to this book and the way it's written. And I have so much admiration for writers who can do things really well, express their thoughts clearly, perfectly, perfect grammar. Of course, they all have editors and so on, but still, to develop an argument, to lead you, to take you to a point where you find, yes, yes, I get it. Thank you. It's just absolutely wonderful. So this book, very understandable why it was on the New York Times number one bestseller list. And I've got, I don't know where I am in this book. I'm not quite. Yeah, still I'm about to move on to chapter 3, Racism After the Civil Rights Movement. And gosh, it's good. It's really, really good. So probably that one is more important to me as a person in my growth and my just getting along in life than yet another book about transcendence. Okay, so that's it. I think I'm going to actually maybe stop there. I've just been hesitant to read too many quotes. I don't want to sound like I'm preaching. It's funny, I did listen to a podcast, I'll say this now without me naming any names, of a young person who was speaking like an authority, happened to be on the topic of love, as only a young person could do, with so much self-assurance and just knowing that they were right and they understood it all. Now, I don't think I was ever that way when I was young. And I mean, just because I lack the confidence. So it's admirable that somebody can go ahead and put themselves out there boldly up front and be an authority on a topic as complex as love. But it was kind of, oh my God, there's a long journey ahead for this person. But I think that's true of anybody when you look at people who are in their younger years. You have to get through those years feeling not just invincible, but that, yeah, you know what's going on. You got your shit together and so on. And it's as you get older and perhaps more frail, I don't know, you have a lot more doubts. Although, going back to the Transcendence book, that's really only a certain type of person anyway that likes to pick themselves apart. And that's what we do, or I do, on the Dixon James podcast. I try and analyze, I try and understand, because it is my nature. And I personally think it's a good thing. I just do it, and you know, that's who I am. That's the way I work, the way I function, with a certain degree of self-awareness that you don't necessarily have when you're younger. And again, a lot of other people, no, just tell me about, you know, who won the game. That's all I care about. So, yeah. All right. Let's just end there. And whether or not we'll use this, we'll see. Yeah, I'm back. This is just 2 minutes later. I thought if I was listening to this podcast and some guy refers to checklists, I'd be curious and I'd want to know, well, what checklists? So I'm going to give you an example. Okay, I'm going back to the chapter on self-esteem. The most important attitude may be the attitude we have toward ourselves. Self-esteem is one of the strongest correlates of life satisfaction. Okay? So it's important to do that, to have self-esteem. And it is something I think I struggle with. A healthy self-esteem is an outcome of genuine accomplishment and intimate connection with others, and of a sense of growing and developing as a whole person. Wow, now that's a mouthful, but that's important. A healthy self-esteem is an outcome of genuine accomplishment. You've got to be able to do something and feel that you've done it, and intimate connection with others. You've got to have friends. And of a sense of growing and developing as a whole person. So, two very simple little checklists, one called self-worth and the other called mastery. And there's a correlation between the two. So, self-worth. And I will read it, and you will sort of measure yourself, whether you agree or to what degree you agree. Okay, that's more important. I like myself. I am a worthwhile human being. I am very comfortable with myself. I am secure in my sense of self-worth. I have enough respect for myself. Okay, and now for the mastery. I am highly effective at the things I do. I am almost always able to accomplish what I try for. I perform very well at many things. I often fulfill my goals. I deal well with challenges in my life. And we'll just leave it there, because there's a whole lot that follows that, sort of explaining where you might be on those things. Feelings of self-worth are so strongly linked to the need for belonging. There's a real connection there. Let's see, is there anything else? Any other final points? At no point in development do we become numb to the moral judgment of those whom we take an interest in. So we're constantly needing that sort of reassurance from our friends. We're never without that, unless you're a psychopath. All right. Okay, so that's it. That's all. Just wanted to give you a little extra, just so you feel that you're involved in this whole process as well. Scarborough Dude signing out. Bye for now. I got to go get some of that yakisoba.
She made my blood run cold, sent cold chills all through my soul. I went to see my doctor, asked him what was wrong. He gave me an examination. I was chilled to my bones. She made my blood run cold, sent cold chills all through my soul. He said, your kisses freezes my heart, causes my blood to stop. Have icicles hanging from my eyes. I need heat all around the clock. She made my blood run cold, sent cold chills all through my soul. He checked my blood pressure. He found that I had none. He said, bring me that woman so she can see what she has done. She made my blood run cold, sent cold chills all through my soul. She came to the doctor's office and rubbed him on his head. And before I could give him a warning, he was standing there frozen dead. She made his blood run cold, took all the life right out of his soul. Whew. Whew.
G'day, g'day. Tuesday afternoon. I spent a good part of the day, or afternoon anyway, lying in my bed. I got an overhead fan there. It's kind of nice. And reading from the Foundation series, of course, and White Racism. And then I went and got my cat. She was outside, and I thought, no, come on inside, Yuki. It's cooler inside. And I've sort of trained her a bit like a dog. Like, she will follow me. It takes a while. She's followed me up the street, or when I've walked, or when I've come home at night, she'll run up to greet me. And now she knows if I let her in, and I go upstairs straight onto the bed, she'll just get something to eat or drink, and then come right back up after and stretch out. And loves it. She feels the fan. And it's such a it's such a nice, cozy, pleasant, stressless thing to do. So I don't really feel the time is wasted. And what else are you going to do, you know? It's still stay-at-home time during this COVID-19 period of our lives. I'm finishing off this podcast now. This will be the last talking clip. The song Before Me by Ike Turner and his band at that time. I can't remember what they were called. But it was great. She made my blood run cold. I love that. Now, I may stop doing the mod stuff. I've done it for a few episodes now, or a couple. Shout out to Jason. By the time I put this up, $4.99, Jason will, or when you're listening to this, Jason will probably have put out his number 500, a landmark, a huge thing. I remember when I was turning 500, I wasn't ready for it, and I had $4.99, $4.99B, $4.99C. I think I went on for quite a while. Finally hit 500. But congratulations, and he'll probably salute me because after this episode, which is $7.99, I'll be hitting 800. So it's kind of neat. We're sort of in step with each other. Lunch today. Looked in the fridge, not much there. It's time for grocery shopping, but some leftover rice. So put that in a little cup and microwaved it to get warm, and then added a little pat of butter to melt in there. And then noticed we had a nice little package of the Korean nori seaweed, the dried seaweed strips, and some chutney, mango chutney. And so cooked a fried egg, you know, runny, flipped it over once, put that on top of the egg and chutney and butter, and layered it with the nori, and just went in there with a fork. Hand problem I had, I forget what you call it now, carpal tunnel, I've not been able to use chopsticks for several months. Now that, by the way, has almost disappeared. There's just a tingling in the fingertips, but the discomfort of it is gone. Maybe these gamma-pentin pills, or maybe just time. I don't know which. Anyway, it was delicious, and I thought I'd just share that with you. I don't often talk about my lunches, or maybe I do. It's trivial anyway. And then after, I thought, okay, I'm going to watch a movie, and I couldn't remember. I record a lot and save them for later watching, and this one was called America, America. And started watching, and okay, it looks kind of neat. It's set in not Greece, a part, I guess, disputed land, perhaps, of maybe the Ottoman Empire, anyway. And there are Turks who are the ruling class, the military, and Armenians and Greeks. And I got right to the point where I read about, okay, the slaughter of the Armenian Christians, and just couldn't bear to watch it. I've seen it before, and it's just so heartbreaking to think of genocide of any kind. It's so far removed from my life when I can sit here and talk about napping with my pussycat and eating some nori on rice. It is such a remote, it's like a dream, a nightmare, another planet, another dimension in space. It's just so far away from the cruelty and hatred that exists in the world. So I just shut that off, thought, oh, I just can't handle this now. I think I'll fast forward to when he gets to America. I guess I've seen it long before. Eli Kazan was the director and won all kinds of awards for it. And the other one, I don't know if I mentioned, I watched Children of Hiroshima. And God, it was a good movie, but it brought home the horror of war, and in particular, in this case, nuclear war, because of the deaths of people years after the fact. This was somebody visiting back their hometown in 1952 after the bomb had gone off in 45. And, of course, it's just a rubble-strewn field where her house was. And so she puts a couple of flowers on a rock and to help promises her parents, you know, her spirits, she'll be back. And then tries to track down children she had taught there before the explosion when they were in kindergarten. And, of course, they've grown up at 7 years later. And one is dying and another, his sister, can't be married because she was trapped in an explosion and deformed her leg. And just the other hardships. It wasn't just all the ones who died instantly, but the ones who died over years of, you know, just sort of suddenly bleeding at the gums. And it was so moving. I watched it with my wife. We didn't speak, or I occasionally chimed up, and I was wiping tears away the whole time. And now the other movie I have to go, apparently it was commissioned by Japanese Teachers Union, quite a strong political force, and they didn't think this version condemned nuclear war enough. It was just the story of this woman revisiting her friends and seeing the remains, and I thought it was beautifully, perfectly done. But they commissioned another one, and this one is called Hiroshima. So that's on deck to watch next. I don't know how I'll feel about that and how weird to be. You can't avoid these things. Well, you can, but it doesn't seem right. But it's just sad. It's such a, oh my God, humanity, humans. And it's weird reading a thing like the Foundation series talking about, you know, thousands and thousands of years into the future when you know, interplanetary space, you know, interstellar space just has been filled with the planets, the billions and trillions of humans organizing themselves politically and militarily, and, you know, here we are as infants on Earth, but still so fucked up. And with science fiction, of course, you never know. Is it going to be better or worse? And there's usually shades of both. So I guess I'll end on that. I don't have any other notes. This was supposed to be just a short clip to wind this off. I'm seeing my doctor tomorrow, and I thought it was better to finish this before that, because that'll be a fresh start. And hearing about poor Doug Slater and his car needing work and not starting and so on, realized, gee, I better get Sal moving once more with just a little exercise. I start it up all the time, but I haven't really moved it in quite a few weeks, so we may do that. All right, Scarborough Dude signing off, and please come back next week. Talk to you then. Bye for now.